You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Don't touch that, it's growing. Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
Yeah, that was the sting I was meant to play.
My name is Tim Boyd. I am a plumber and a gas fitter, and I feel like I've found a little niche that needs to be targeted in Auckland with an open community wood workshop.
So your space is The Warren. Can you tell me a little bit more about The Warren?
It was started out of a couple of different things. I was sort of a bit tired of friends coming to me asking me to make things for them, so I thought, why not teach them how to make them instead of just making them something and them not learning the skills along the way. So I was born out of that, and also spending a lot of time on building sites and seeing all this rubbish, well, resources being thrown to skips. So I ended up collecting all those up and taking them home and started building a little workshop at home, and found it really wasn't going to work there. So I ended up finding a space down on Cross Street, next to the Cross Street markets down there. And we've been open for about 2 months now. And yeah, we run woodwork classes and have a little store there as well.
So you like briefly touched on why you exist, but were there any external causes that further provoked what The Warren grew out of?
I suppose seeing the sort of the need for people to have a space in the centre of the city where they can make stuff. You know, as rents go up, people live in smaller places. They don't have a garage, they don't have a backyard. They've got an apartment with a tiny deck, and they don't have the space to set up any tools. So I suppose that was definitely one of the factors, and the reason why we chose the location as well.
You mentioned workshops. So you've run, how many workshops have you run so far?
We've run two different workshops. One was in learning how to use hand tools, so chisels and mallets and marking gauges, and learning how to basically mark something out onto a piece of timber and then use hand tools only to make, in this instance, was a little wooden stool. And then the other one was on learning how to use machines, and that was learning how to use a jointer or a planer to mill a piece of timber square and flat so that you can laminate it to another piece. And then from there, people have cut them up and made chopping boards out of that.
You said it's important as well, like you had friends that were just coming over to and getting you to make stuff. And as well, I know this is the same with what I did to a few mates initially when I was starting off, before they took the time out of their days to teach me how to do it. Do you think we still value the sharing of skills to the same extent that perhaps we did in past days?
And that's actually one of the key reasons why I wanted to start the space, was because I just sort of saw all this older generation, you know, that used to be in manufacturing in New Zealand, that, and a lot of it went off overseas when all the taxes came off. And so, you know, there's all these people out there with all these amazing skills, but I feel like there's this generation gap where people probably spend a little bit too much time indoors and not enough time outdoors, running around building tree houses and whatnot. So I kind of want to try and bridge that gap in the industry with, you know, getting these older people to come in and teach workshops and pass the skills on.
Yeah, there's certainly like a lot of skills floating out there as well, and you can see them across different sheds and shed spaces. So it's super interesting as well, like as you say, like the densification, there's obviously, I guess, benefits of it in a central area, but it has quite a few negatives as well. The Warren kind of, for me at least, seems to be encouraging sustainability in kind of multiple different ways, be that the sustainability of like passing on skills, or even as you said initially when you're setting up your workshop. And for those that have visited, the kind of frontage of the workshop as well shows kind of recycled materials. How important to you is it for the Warren to kind of present sustainable practice?
Really important. I mean, there's all these resources that are just ending up in landfills, so we've got to do something about it. And so I suppose the whole kind of model in a way is sort of circular, in the sense that we get these materials that come in, and then we get these skills that come in, and we connect those people with the materials and the skills, and then they can possibly go on to making some items from those materials and then pushing them through into our store and selling them. Or they might come back in time to come and pass on some of their skills to other people as well. So, you know, if you come into the store, the front of it looks like an old villa that pops up out of the concrete jungle. And, you know, it was all made from reclaimed materials from a job I was working on over in Devonport. and we've got these beautiful, you know, 1880s French doors that open into this store with, you know, beautiful Koldi sacking all down one wall with Matai floorboards, and, you know, this is all stuff that was headed to the dump. And, you know, I think it's a really important aspect for me.
Do you think New Zealand has a problem with its wastage?
It's huge. I mean, I think 60% of materials that go to landfill are via the construction industry. So it's a massive issue, especially when there's, you know, incentives for them to divert some of that wood up to Whanganui. There's a big concrete processing plant where they've got a certain quota of material that they need to get up there to burn to, you know, keep their plants running. And I think it's like 20% of it needs to be New Zealand hardwoods as their quota. I mean, that's terrible that there's actual numbers on it, because, you know, it means that they go out and really look for them, and instead of trying to find a good home for them, they're just burning them. So I think it's a tragedy.
Certainly. There's a lot of different things that can be done. Do you have any, like, favourite projects or reclamations that you've seen around the place?
I mean, you see it, you know, in quite a lot of bar fit outs and stuff like that. You know, people are starting to be quite creative with the materials, and it's good to see. Certainly it's, you know, it's sort of hip if we want to go that way, but
it is, like, sadly. I mean, not sadly, like, it's great. It's not greenwashing, but it is greenwashing of bars, but it is good to see.
And then I suppose it helps spread that message, you know, which I think is always really important, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just this thing of, like, everything's accumulating. Now I think as well people are realising, I think last year, towards the end of it, we realised that a lot of the stuff we're recycling as well isn't actually ending up where we thought it was. A few countries overseas, particularly in Europe, have a fixability tax or fixability laws in terms of with whiteware and other kind of products as such. They're making sure that companies now legally have to make them more fixable than they are at the moment, because essentially what happens is you buy, I'm sure most people are aware, you buy, say, a washing machine, it breaks, and really the only place it can go is landfill. But there are countries, I can't remember off the top of my head, that are now making sure that companies like, I assume, Bosch, etc., are now legally have to fix these things or make them easier to fix. Do you think New Zealand could do worse than implementing similar laws?
Absolutely not. I mean, it sounds like a fantastic idea. I mean, unfortunately, it's just become such the norm that if something breaks, people just throw it away and find something new. That did lead me to thinking about something. Out in GI, there's a massive big recycling plant out there, and I believe all of the waste from in Auckland's inorganic goes out there. And so they group it into sections, and so you've got whiteware and timber and, you know, building materials and whatnot. And then as a community group, you can go in there and you can kind of put your hand up and say, you know, I want all the washing machines, for example. There's a group that set themselves up and they repair all these appliances. Wow. And then they sell them back into the community for really low cost.
Because I know there's also the waste station out in Henderson, out on the concourse as well, where it's essentially quite an open stall. I don't know if they fix up the products, but there's a whole heap of stuff that you can get for pittance of a price, like bikes for under $10, etc. With the tiny bit of work, that'd be fine and in working condition again. Are there any other, not necessarily green improvements, but stuff like along these kind of lines and along the lines of community space and stuff that you think that could almost be like implemented on a national level?
I mean, if I got it my way, I mean, I think that all communities should have workshops like, you know, what we're trying to start with the Warren. I think it's, you know, a great place to, you know, to meet people, to learn skills, to divert, you know, waste and to make things from it. So, I mean, you do see it in the likes of things like the men's sheds, which have gained quite a lot of popularity, and there's the Gribblehurst Hub, and they've got a quite cool workshop out there as well.
You sort of as well touched on a thing there before. It's not just like you're going to these spaces to make stuff, but also to meet people. As we increasingly become stuck to our phones and computers as well, it's a lot easier to have, say, social interaction without actually meeting people. But it also does have a kind of quite a damning or isolating effect in some cases. How helpful do you think some of these spaces are in not necessarily preventing social isolation, but do you think these places can be used as more than, say, a tool shed? Because some people just label them as tool sheds.
Absolutely, and I really hope that it would become more of a social space as well. I mean, my vision for it is, you know, as a wood workshop, a metal workshop, you know, a wet studio with ceramics and, you know, a big kitchen and, you know, places where people can have their offices and run small little businesses and people can come in and train. And I think, you know, as a intergenerational space, I think it's really important, particularly as we get, you know, older people coming in with their skills and passing them on. It works for both ways, you know. It sort of gives maybe people who are slightly isolated in the community a space to come in and really excel, you know. They're these craftspeople that have got all these skills, and if they can be in their positive, happy space and passing these skills on, I think it's, you know, really positive for the community.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as you said, kind of works at both ends of the spectrum as well. The youth who are attached to their phones, etc., aren't the only ones that are necessarily isolated, especially, and as you say, the other end, a whole heap of old people, especially if they are in, say, like, retirement villages or units where they're no longer, or if their friend groups aren't still around, especially in, they're in their element, which is a great kind of thing to see. I guess could provide like a really great support network for these people. What do you have coming up at the Warren?
Currently we've got one of the machine workshops coming up. So that's come in 4 weeks and learn how to make a chopping board. And we've also got an open workshop at the moment. So basically you've got an idea, you come in, we work on the idea with you and come up with a design, you go off and find the materials, and then you come back, and then between us we start making it and give you the guidance you need to make your project. That's a 4-week block, but if you need extra time, you can just book in blocks.
Yeah.
And then also in April, we've got some pretty cool stuff happening. We've got a guy, John Shaw, who's coming up from Nelson, who's quite a well-renowned New Zealand woodworker, and he's going to be running 3 2-day-long workshops over the course of a week. So that will be, yeah, learning how to dismantle an old plane and reassemble it and sharpen it all up and, you know, really getting it to work well. Making a little simple wooden block plane. There's one on making a puzzle, and so that's all about, you know, learning how to mark out and cut a joint really accurately. And then the last one is making a portable workbench. So yeah, those are going to be really interesting, and he's a really knowledgeable guy, so you'll walk away with a lot of skills after those 2 days.
That sounds good. Is there a membership structure at the Warren as of yet?
There's one in the works, but we haven't quite finalised that yet. At the moment, you can just jump onto the website, www.warren.nz, and you can book yourself into a slot or book yourself into one of the courses there.
2 more questions. Where else can people find you?
You can find us on Instagram, which is thewarren_nz, or on Facebook, The Warren, a community workshop.
And finally, what is community?
A space for people to come and share their knowledge and their thoughts and compassion, to a place to help each other out, a place to grow.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.